Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. And welcome to our worship service. And a couple of announcements for us. Carol is going to the LWML event. I forget exactly what it's called.
District Convention.
And so there's opportunities to make some contributions. She'll be participating in a mission march. And so you contribute to that. Also, Gifts of the Heart, where you can select certain items, and there's a list back in the back of the church. So consider that. I think she leaves Wednesday, you said?
Thursday morning.
All right, thank you. All right. We'll also recognize our high school grads. We'll wait till the end of the service for that, but we also have some cake and ice cream downstairs after the worship service, so come down for that. We're following Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203 in your hymnal, and the hymns listed on the board, but for those listening on the radio, we're opening with 741, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense. Hymn of the Day 668, Rise to Arms, With Prayer Employ You. Distribution Hymns 564, Christ Sits at God's Right Hand. 672, Jerusalem the Golden. 561, The Tree of Life. We'll close with 922, Go My Children with My Blessing. Let's begin with our opening hymn 741, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing together the introit printed on your insert.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 3. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together the gradual on your insert. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. Since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard of it, they went out to seize him, for they're saying he's out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith is written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, and acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When his family heard it, they went out to seize him. They were saying he's out of his mind. Jesus' family was a little concerned. Jesus was saying and doing things that led them to conclude that he's out of his mind. He's crazy. So it was time for family intervention. But what was going on? What had led them to come to this conclusion? And so we look back a little bit at Mark to see what had Jesus been doing and saying that all these people were talking about him, gathering around him. Why were the scribes saying he's possessed? These aren't just casual, passive reactions. Well, we see that ever since his baptism, Jesus is doing some peculiar things. He starts off going into the wilderness 40 days. Odd. Then he comes to Galilee. He's proclaiming the gospel of God, saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. A little unusual. Sounds a lot like that strange prophet John who just had his head removed. Jesus then is recruiting an interesting assortment of men from that area. He tells them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men? That's unusual. He's going from town to town preaching and teaching in the synagogues. He's not asking for invitations. He's simply doing this on his own authority. He's doing it in a way that no one else has done before either. This is catching a lot of attention. He's speaking with authority as if he's the authority. He's simply saying, well, this is what the scripture means. This is the way it is. Nobody else is doing this. And the people who were surrounding Jesus were odd. Some of them seemed to be out of their mind. Those people who were oppressed and possessed by demons, they're always there. What was that all about? And the sick, the diseased, the unclean. Jesus was physically interacting with these unclean people, touching them, eating with them. That's crazy. But it didn't bother him at all. He was unfazed. He would tell those unclean spirits, be silent and come out. They shut up and they came out. This wasn't normal. From Mark's account, Jesus was always doing and saying things that normal people just don't do and say. Normal people don't just say your sins are forgiven, but Jesus did. Normal people don't eat with tax collectors and sinners, people who are considered unclean. Jesus did. Not only did he eat with them, but Jesus also asked them to follow him. What was he thinking? What would people say? Jesus didn't seem to be controlled by what other people said, no matter who they were, including the Pharisees, who were widely respected in the community for their piety and their understanding of God's word. But Jesus fearlessly challenged them, admonished them. Jesus openly broke Sabbath laws and traditions as if he knew better. So yes, more and more people are talking about him, gathering around him. What crazy thing is he going to do next? What crazy thing would he say to the Pharisees? And well, what's going to happen to him? Doesn't he know how the world works? You got to go along to get along. You have to keep your head down, keep your mouth shut. Mind your own business. Otherwise, people, well, they might think you're crazy, especially if you upset the wrong people, those who have influence. Jesus' family, well, they were concerned. They thought he'd gone too far. They thought he must be out of his mind, doing all these things all of a sudden. Well, they thought they should stop him before things really got out of control. Otherwise, it could mean trouble for him. Not to mention for them.
So while Jesus' family may have been well-intended, the scribes were not. He was a threat to them, the way of doing things. Now, they didn't deny Jesus doing these incredible things, the healings, the casting out of demons, making the lame walk. They didn't deny it, but they didn't like it. He was acting on his own authority. He didn't need them. The scribes and those in positions of influence didn't want people following Jesus. They couldn't explain the incredible works that Jesus was doing, so they blamed Satan. They accused Jesus of being possessed by the devil. This was absurd, as Jesus pointed out. It's because of Satan that sin, sickness, death entered the world. Satan is all about seeking to destroy and kill. So how could one who's opposing the work of Satan be Satan? How could the one who's restoring health and freeing people from demons be controlled by demons? Satan cannot fight against Satan. But make no mistake, Jesus was fighting Satan. Jesus came to go after the strong man, Satan. He was going after the prince of the world directly, head on. Satan had been tormenting man since the Garden of Eden. It was because of his deceiving of man that man fell, that sin entered into the world. Death and destruction came in, and he'd been deceiving, misleading, tormenting man ever since. But it had gone on long enough. The days of Satan were numbered. The days of those demons, those fallen angels, those in league with Satan, days were numbered and they knew it. And so they're confronting Jesus as he's presenting himself manifest as the Son of God, the promised one, the offspring born of a woman. He is the one who had come to bruise the head of the serpent, the one promised in the garden. And yet Satan and the demons were powerless against Jesus and the work he had come to accomplish. They could make noise. They could torment people. They could tempt and threaten and call names to Jesus. But they could not stop him for what he had come to do. He had come to set his people free. He had come to suffer death on the cross, to suffer the crucifixion. This was the bruising of the heel spoken of in the garden. And at the cross, Jesus destroyed the power of Satan. He bound him. This was the bruising of the head of the serpent that was spoken of. A little mysterious to us, but it was not to the first man and woman and all whom they told the promise to, nor was it a mystery to Satan. He was threatened and ultimately defeated by Christ. In the words that Jesus used in his analogy, Jesus bound the strong man, Satan, through his death on the cross, and Satan had no claim on those who are in Christ. He had no power over them. In your baptism, Christ claimed you as his own, and he promised you forgiveness, eternal life, salvation in him, and you've been given the same Spirit who descended upon Jesus, the same Spirit that led him into the wilderness, the same Spirit that led him into his ministry that stirred things up. The same Spirit that overcame Satan. In our baptism liturgy, we renounce the devil, all his works, all his ways. We take our stand against the strong man as we are in Christ, baptized in him, standing with him, standing against the one who is already bound. The baptized are moved from Satan's hold to Jesus. And there's no neutral ground. The baptized move into opposition against Satan. The scribes were accusing Jesus of being Satan. They were opposed to Christ. They were resisting Christ. Jesus says in this context, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Dear baptized, this does not apply to you in your life of repentance and faith. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you the gift of repentance and faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In Christ, you have nothing to fear. You have His word, His promises to hold on to, no matter what. God's word feeds you and instructs you and guides you. It is transforming you into His image. To those who don't know Jesus, it may sound like you're out of your mind to believe that God would do such a thing, that God would do such a thing as we believe and confess and live according to His will and His ways. It may sound crazy that God would come into this crazy world to deliver us from evil, from Satan. That God would come to us in our sin, in our sickness, because He loves us. That God would suffer on our behalf to set us free. That God would choose us to be in His family. So, to the world, you may appear to some to be out of your mind, to be crazy. As you live in this faith and the promises, you live without fear, you mingle with sinners, you care for the sick and diseased, the unwanted, and you speak the word of God boldly, unapologetically against the devil, against the world. And in so you set free those who are held captive by him under his delusion, under Satan's delusion, renouncing the devil, his works, and all his ways, especially to those who don't believe he exists, and yet we know he does, and so we speak it for the sake of those who are deceived and bound. Going against societal norms, those societal norms that oppose God's clear teachings, we may appear out of our mind. Of course, Jesus is not out of his mind. He's not crazy, nor are his ways. Jesus and his ways only seem to be crazy from the perspective of a world that is crazy. Many in this world remain deceived and controlled by Satan. But Satan has been bound by the stronger man. He has no power over Jesus, no power over the Holy Spirit. Satan cannot stop the Holy Spirit from working faith in the heart of a person who hears the word of God. And you and I have been given this word of God and this spirit so that we may plunder the house of Satan to set free those who are captive by his lies. Until a person is set free by the truth of Jesus, the promised one sent by God who bruise the head of the serpent to set us free, they might think we're out of our mind. Jesus' family thought of that, of him, for a while. But Jesus didn't give up on them. That didn't faze him. And by the power and grace of God, his mother and brothers would later come to a saving faith in Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God. They too became part of his true family. Jesus said, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And the will of God is that we do believe. We believe in Jesus, whom God sent. The will of God is that all would repent and believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. As we work with Jesus to plunder Satan's domain by sharing the good news of Jesus' forgiveness to all those who are hurting from sin and held captive by his lies, well, we're willing to appear a little crazy for their sake. We're doing it for the sake of family, family who do not yet know that they're part of the family, family who are yet to be delivered from the deception and control of Satan. They are also part of God's family, just they don't know it yet. Or whether or not people think Jesus was crazy for doing it, Jesus died for them. He died for them just like he died for you. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we join together in prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the promised offspring, Jesus Christ, whose death has crushed Satan's head forever, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that as God received the meager confessions of our first parents for the sake of his grace, so he would forgive our sins and lead us forward in hope, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, her preachers, all servants who work, the generous who give, and all who suffer with patience, that made brothers and fellow heirs of Christ Jesus by his incarnation and suffering for our sake, we may all always do the will of God, and so be true and faithful members of the household of God. Let us pray to the Lord. For courage, that as we believe, so we also would speak of the confidence of Christ's resurrection, that we would be emboldened to confess this Christian faith from a lively conscience, and that for Christ's sake, grace may extend to more and more people for the glory of God. Let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and its government, that as no kingdom or house divided can ever stand, God would frustrate the destructive work of Satan and unite our leaders and our people for the common good. Let us pray to the Lord. That God would lead us to place our true hope in his eternal kingdom, which is not of this world. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who suffer in this earthly tent, especially Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lois, Joanne, Mark, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Ruth, Lacey, Bernard, Linda, Mike, Marlene, Doris, Arlene, Michael, Carol, Mark, Alexis, Nancy, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, and Ben, that fixing their eyes beyond the transient to things unseen, they would not lose heart, and that God in his eternal wisdom would prepare them through this slight momentary affliction for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, when at last we are raised with Christ and brought into his presence. Let us pray to the Lord. For Carol and all who travel to and from the LWML District Convention, that you keep them safe and bless their time together. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that as Satan once overcame our first parents through the eating of the tree's fruit, so Christ would overcome the devil among us here by the fruit of his cross, his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord. What was lost in paradise has been regained by the conquering wounds of your Son, crucified and raised again. In him we are restored as your children and made bold to ask for every need. Hear us for his sake and in his name, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is collected. Please stand.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally, because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City.